Are we recording a podcast? I mean,
I was kind of hoping we'd forget and we could just hang out for a little bit and drink.
I mean
all right.
Is the podcast not just the thinnest excuse to hang out and drink and talk for a while?
But when we do the
so
other
you want to raw dog it? Is that what you're saying?
I just don't want
to. You want to remove the barrier of excuse?
Oh, ew.
I just don't want to have to say, greetings, Happer Posse, and buckle up for sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
See, that's the difference. Is I didn't say that.
Well, really, I've wanted to drink for a bit now.
Well, go ahead.
Raw dogging is not as superior as turbo dogging.
Ooh, that's correct. all right, so I decided, because sometimes I do that.
Sorry, I just got a text from my wife. She's working the penalty box for my daughter's game, and apparently they're having some mama-daughter time at the moment.
Oh, that's got to be the worst.
Oh, my God.
No, it's the best. Look at that smile.
Yeah, okay.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Try to get 5 minutes next time.
Just picturing regularly. You should have gone for the kneecaps.
Yeah.
I knew we needed to spend more time together, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Sticking, you know better than that. Hooking.
Yeah.
That's what we're after.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so this month I've decided on ginger beer drinks.
Ooh.
And I wanted to start with one of my personal favorites, but they didn't have the right kind of booze. So I got something that's similar, and we're going to hope.
All right.
But yeah, this is the, what is it, Gosling's?
Yeah.
Ginger beer mixed with Bacardi lime. So we get that nice limeness, a nice limey rum in with the ginger beer. And yeah, I hope it's...
Keep away that scurvy.
I hope it's the same or at least similar enough to my personal favorite.
Some lawn chairs.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty close. Yeah, the big thing is you can't really taste it that much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like candy.
Huh.
The booze that I normally mix it with is Don Q.
Gotcha.
Limon, or whatever it is. But
I thought Don Q was a tequila.
Nope.
What am I thinking of? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's a rum.
Okay.
And
Limon.
Yeah. So that one's, I think, a little sugarier than this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets much more of that candy coating kind of feel.
Yeah, true.
But no, this is still it's very similar.
Yeah.
So
ginger beer is one of those. It's almost Dr. Pepper-ish in its universal mixology.
True.
Ooh. Not as much as Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Right.
But in your basic spirits, ginger beer is pretty much a good go-to. So
yeah.
All right, we'll drink pretty much anything with it.
It is the anesthesiologist to the doctor.
I get it, but man.
I don't.
Dr. Pepper is the universal mixer. So, would that make ginger beer the anesthesiologist?
No.
Yeah,
no,
see.
No, it would make it like the intern.
Oh, sorry.
No, but student. I am going to nurse
Root beer
this.
Would be the anesthesiologist.
No.
Anesthesiologist. You're awful and I hate you.
Yeah. Well.
Also, you guys just went right through what I was saying, so that's
fine. I was listening. James was doing his thing.
Yeah, because I was making a joke about nursing this. And
that's pretty
you
good.
Walked right through it with your whatever the fuck that was.
I was so excited.
I know you were.
James would refer to it as a joke.
To every guy. Oh.
Oh. But.
Okay.
We know better. Anyway.
That's what I was doing.
What y'all been up to?
Over the weekend, I binge-watched all of The Good Place. The state of the world has had me frustrated and angry.
Yeah.
And The Good Place is one of those shows that just kind of puts me back in a You got this. Everything's going to be fine. Everything mm-hmm. is fine.
Yeah. Everything appears fine when you're actually literally in hell.
Well, I mean, the show itself, though.
I know.
The way that they find things and then overcome them and all of the rest of that. Like, there's and it's just such good, happy feels
it is,
over the course
it is
of
a
everything.
Fantastic show.
It's great. And it just, it's nice to be in a universe or spend some time in a universe where everything gets solved and people are happy at the end.
Things are morally relevant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All the moral and ethical quandaries are resolved.
With a satisfying resolution.
Morally and ethically.
Jeez.
I binge watched all of that over the weekend, which means I didn't get fuck else all done over the weekend.
That is a lot, too. That's four seasons.
It is. The last season is only 13
Still, that's
episodes.
Two seasons a day.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I got through all of one and some of two the first night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I started, I want to say about 5 p.m. on Friday. And I just
through.
I had most of it done. I would have been finished about noon on Sunday. Because I literally just did binge it and nothing the fuck else. But I spent a couple of hours watching our friend Tom ST doing their stream. And I like doing that Saturday mornings. It's kind of a nice, cozy little, it's kind of like Saturday morning cartoons with a friend.
Sure.
That I don't have to respond to. It's kind of nice. Like, I can if I want to, but I don't have to. I can just be like, I'm drinking coffee.
I've joined for a couple of streams recently as well.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's great. So a couple hours was that. And then I got so close. I got up to the last episode, and then I had to leave to go grocery shopping with my little brother.
Oh.
And then I came back and watched the last one.
Well, there you go.
But that last episode is actually a full hour, because they go through everybody and everything, and they're... I don't want to spoil anything for a show that's been around for, like, what, 7 or 8 years?
I mean, the thing is, I still intend to watch it all the way through, but I got through season 2, and that was all they had at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then I still have to come back for 3
I'm going to say a high recommend for especially current times. It is so relevant, and then there's even more relevancy. And, I mean, some of the show was happening during the last Trump administration. So there are still parallels to this day that really just carry over like you would not believe. So anyway, high recommend for it. But I did that over the weekend. I also had a doctor's visit. That was not what I wanted it to be.
Oh, no.
Well, it was the follow-up visit with my doctor, right? Yeah. And it was just an e-visit. She was like, so, how's it going? And I was like, you don't want to know. And I talked about everything, and she's like, okay, well, we can try adjusting medications. We can try this. And I'm like, I'm really frustrated. You need to know how much pain I'm in.
Yeah.
And
didn't we already do that?
Well, it's kind of like mood stabilizers, where you have to find the right balance with it.
Sure.
And I was like, I don't know that I want to do that anymore. I am leaking right now, and I'm haven't stopped for a month. I would really like to not be leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could we make me not leak? You know what would make me not leak? If I didn't have a uterus in the first place. That would be great. So she wasn't like, oh, let's do a hysterectomy tomorrow for free. Like, she didn't say that, which is what I wanted. But we will be doing
a girl can dream.
Yeah. We will be doing a follow-up visit. Talked about certain things to try to help with the immediate. Which... this part was delightful. She was like, okay, so I want you to take your ring out for like 5 days. And then pop it back in. It's kind of like restarting your computer. Like, well, I've never done that before, so me with my computer degree.
We're turning your hormones off and on again.
Basically, yeah. I'm just like, do I need to wait the full 30 seconds? Or, yeah. You know, is it going to fuck it up if I cheat?
Is there a key combo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do I...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is anyway. There a toggle switch or do I unplug it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the idea is to let your body have another period and then reset from there. Sure. Here's the problem. I'm on day 3 of not having a ring, and I'm still very slowly leaking.
Yeah.
I am not having a proper period. I am just very, like a
just oozing.
Drippy faucet. Yeah. Yep. Oozing is actually probably the right term that... it's more than spotting. It's mm-hmm. not an actual flow. It's just this weird nebulous state of... Bleh.
There are some listeners that are very uncomfortable right now.
Don't care.
Oh, I'm not worried about it either. I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, sorry, this happens to half the population.
Yeah, I guess people listen to this show to be comfortable.
Right. There's like, last time we talked about all of this, I think that one... Definitely disclaimer, but
not something that just happens.
It's absolutely nothing has changed for the past few days, and I'm supposed to wait 5 or 6 days and then put another one in.
God damn.
Because at that point I will have had a period, except that,
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ah, oh, come on. So yeah, if that doesn't work, I'm gonna. Messenger and be like, all right, did what you said. Just for the... And this is just to try to help take care of it up until I can get in to see her, where we will have an extensive conversation. She's going to review my ultrasound and see what kind of complications and this, that, and the other thing. She was very excited to hear that I quit smoking. I was not. I was like, still miss it so much. But, yeah, she was like, on the plus side, like, I know you're not happy about it, but that will relieve a lot of my fears and complications if we do a hysterectomy. And I'm like, cool, great. So let's do that. Just get it out of there.
There is a whole fucking list that this will solve.
Right. It's one of those things, and I know... A doctor can't hold on to all of the information for all of their patients
Certainly
all of the time.
Not.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, she was like, well, you were really just in for heavy bleeding, right? And I was like, yeah, but then we did the ultrasound and we found these 5 other issues. And like, the heavy bleeding was the main one, but that wasn't the only one. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I get where you're coming from. I'm not doing that right now, but I'd like to be not doing any of it right now. That'd be great. Anyway,
wear a name
so
tag
that's
with your symptoms.
Huh?
Got to wear a name tag with your symptoms.
Oh my God. I think next time I'm just going to have a full list.
Yeah.
And just unfold it and hand it over and be like, I don't
need to do like
Christ
in Roadhouse where he just has his folder with him and hands it to the doctor. Like, here's my medical history. This is everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't what I wanted from that conversation, but I did get enough conversation with her to where I'm hopeful that the next conversation will see something a bit more resolute.
Yeah.
Gotta get through all of the bullshit to get...
I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like when you call up tech support. And they're like, okay, I need you to run through all of these steps. And you've already run through all of these steps. But they need you to run through all of those steps.
Yep.
With them live
with
on
them
the phone.
Live. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
And all 3 of us have been on both sides of this.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know exactly why we have to go through all of the steps and how fucking annoying it is when you say, but I've already done this. And they're like, sure, but I need you to do this.
Yeah, I need the error message. Yeah.
To be fair, if I get an error message, I... grab a clip of it right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I document so many things. I have had a few tickets that I've filed with places and been like, here's all the steps I did. Here is the error message that I got at this point right here. Here are the things that I've done. And like, I sent that off to one specific group and they're like, did you use the right username?
Fuck.
Did you log in with the right credentials? And I'm just like,
motherfucker.
A son of a bitch!
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, I did everything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everything. Nope, not the admin account. That would have been real handy.
Back when we were working at the place that we all worked at, a mutual friend of ours who also worked there, who was still working there when James and I started. I can't remember why, but she had to put in a ticket. And, like, I opened up this ticket, and it was like a choir of angels singing because it was clearly documented with steps on exactly how the troubleshooting steps that had been taken, the steps to replicate, screenshots of the problem, everything.
Yes.
And I just opened this up and it was like,
oh God.
It was like, clearly,
orgasm at the desk?
Clearly, this is somebody who's been on the other side of this.
Right.
And knows what it takes to put in a good support ticket.
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty. It was amazing. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've tried, whenever I have put in a ticket for, you know, our internet has gone out or some website's not working, like when I'm submitting a ticket, I try to emulate that. Just be like, I am going to give you all of the information in a clearly readable format with all the information.
At the place you and I first worked together, there was a team above us that handled all the database stuff and software deployment and that kind of thing. And I was one of the few people that they would allow to do walk-up consults for things because they were like, well, did you submit a ticket? And the answer was always yes. And there were never, they didn't have to ask me any questions that weren't answered in the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I walked up for a consult, they knew that I was there for business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, what? Tell us.
We have already gone through everything.
Yeah. Yep. Give us the Cliff's Notes, and then let's make this work. What do you need done, basically?
Right.
Yeah. Which salon is it? What do we need to send them?
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had that meeting with your doctor, and
they ran tech support on your uterus.
They ran tech support on my uterus. I mean, we're still going through that process right now.
You got a vendor ticket in.
Yep. So I'm gonna check in not tomorrow, but the day after. To try to get my follow-up scheduled because doctor wanted a couple of days for me to sit on things for a bit. And I'm like, And look, here's the thing. I don't want to have surgery. The idea of it absolutely terrifies me.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, my God.
But at this point, the scales have tipped.
But holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would not be doing it if it were not worse to not do it.
Right. I'm like,
yes.
Yeah.
Hence the scales analogy.
I think the biggest thing for me, the biggest frustration for me right now is that if I'm going to have one done, I would want to get it done sooner rather than later, especially right now with my current timeline of things that I want to get done later in the year.
Right.
I don't want to have a hysterectomy in August.
Or October.
Yeah.
Wait. God. Ugh, if it took that long. I mean, not impossible. But yeah, those are not good times for me to be doing that kind of thing. And so I think that might be adding to my frustration to a very specific degree that I have not told my doctor, frankly. Like, I don't want to walk in and be like, I'm on a timeline here. So yeah, that's kind of my biggest frustration right now, is I might have to just not do some. I already accepted there are certain things that I wanted to do this year that I'm not going to be able to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want there to be more top of that.
Trying to mitigate it as much as possible.
God, right? So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it's some days are better than others. Some days I'm fine to be doing things, and other days it feels like there's a bowling ball in my uterus,
mm-hmm.
Just weighing my gut down.
Yep.
And I don't like any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would like to just be done with all of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So what have you been up to, James?
Yeah!
Vinny's play opened. This is Vincent's first play that he's ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
His first stage production. And he is a side character with a couple of speaking lines.
Mm-hmm. Speaking lines are good.
But he's on stage a lot, which has its own unique difficulty, as we are all aware. Being interesting but not distracting.
Yeah.
And how difficult that can be and all of that stuff. So he did a fantastic job because we went to see his show on opening night. It's directed by Bridget Foy, who is an absolute delight and an extraordinary talent. Mm-hmm. And then absolutely everybody in the show was great. Tremendous acting, beautiful costumes, great comedy, intense action, and wonderful romantic bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compelling. I don't know what the era of the Three Musketeers is called. What era is? That's not like the Regency era. That's something else, right?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
So I think the Three Musketeers, is it the Regency era? Or is that...
No,
Regency is England.
Yeah.
It's pre-revolution.
Right. But I'm trying to...
No, okay, so Regency would be 1810 to 1825-ish. Musketeers would be mid-1700s. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact...
Yeah.
But yeah, mid to sneaking up to late. And there is a specific term for that in France. I just don't remember what it is. But yeah, not Regency. Regency is post all of that.
And this would be Spain, and so I don't know what the... but it's just like...
I don't know. In my brain, it's just rapier era. Because that's how my brain do.
Sure.
Brain move. It's rapier moving in a small sword.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
I mean, accurate.
I don't know, man. That's how I tell time.
It's musketeer era.
Yes.
Yeah. Is kind of where it's at. Even though they're cavaliers, not musketeers. But the thing anyway doesn't matter.
It doesn't have a name. It's just pre-revolutionary France.
Might be why I'm struggling to come up with a name. But the dialogue is sharp and witty. It's engaging and also like almost immediately the audience is faced with the dilemma of the play. Like, I want to say it's like 1 minute in functionally.
Mm-hmm.
It has no twists and turns getting to the main difficulty of the play. But it does a really good job of winding around and showing you all of the different bits and pieces of it. Well directed, well acted, and just good. Wholeheartedly recommend the play The Cid, which I think has one more weekend.
That's my understanding. The Cid.
Cid. THECID.
This, like El Cid?
Exactly like that.
Okay.
But it is The Cid.
Because it's in English.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah.
Is not accent day.
It's, yeah.
Is accent day!
I'm sorry. El Cid in English. The Cid. Just does not...
See, I'm just picturing a dude named Cid.
El Nino, yeah, it's kind of
which
a
is Spanish for the Nino.
Anyway,
yeah, but it's a fantastic play, and the sword fights are really fun. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Who did the sword fights?
I was about to ask.
I am aware of some of the people who were involved, but I don't know who the choreographer or director.
I know a couple of the people involved too. Yeah. I just don't know who.
Yeah,
choreographed it. So,
but the excellent Kate Peters was involved, for
ooh.
Example. So yeah, great play, a good way to spend an evening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very close to Leaning Tower of Pizza, so if your dietary restrictions allow you to have pizza or gluten-free pizza or wings or something like that, like make a night of it.
Yeah.
Go do the thing. All of that, and then went back and finished up printing some of the... So I think everybody's done this where some of your Christmas gifts are like coupons for a thing that you are doing later. Or that is like... partially complete.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Like, where you're like, this is the work in progress.
Here's a certificate, a little printed out thing that says work in progress.
Yeah, or I'm taking you to a museum in March.
Or the Amazon delivery says 3 more days.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've received a lot of tracking slips. Mm-hmm.
My wife has a wife has a certificate upstairs right now for a riverboat wine tour.
Ooh.
Because they do those. And it's been sitting there for a couple of years because we just haven't been able to schedule it.
It's fair.
But it's going to happen, damn it.
Yeah. All right, so one of my gifts to nephew Vincent was headphone hooks.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite thing is... so he wears big, giant headphones.
Same.
For comfort and like mental safety. And... he does not, in his room, did not have a good place for them to go when he's not wearing them.
Yeah.
And so I designed.
This is the little guy that you showed us with the eyes?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We shared pictures of that guy.
So I printed that one quite a while ago, but I had promised him a few.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
He has one by his computer desk. He has one on his wall next to his bed, that kind of stuff. And so I just finished one that is a little planet with a ring. And the ring glows in the dark, and like the mists over the planet, the cloud layer of the planet, also glows very faintly in the dark. And so I had to do some like engineering design work.
Something that sheds light right next to your bed when you're trying to sleep.
I don't think it sheds light. No. I think it's like having glow-in-the-dark star stickers.
I know. I was just giving you shit.
The best, part about it, because he is
just giving him shit.
He is really light sensitive, and so I was like, here's the deal. It will glow in the dark if you have had your lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the time, his door is closed, his blackout curtains are drawn, and the lights are off.
Yeah.
And I was like, so... you will know that it can glow, but it probably won't unless you like purposely.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just something nice for him.
No, I was a couple of years back. I had read something about light pollution and stuff like that, and how it can affect your sleep and.
Mm-hmm.
And I experimented with it in like making sure that like even my alarm clock was facing away from me.
Yeah.
So I would set it and I would still be able to hear it, but the lights weren't pointing right at me.
Yeah.
Sure.
And things like that, and I discovered that I did get better sleep.
Oh, definitely.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things about glow-in-the-dark stuff is that it is almost never bright enough to...
I know. But, I was just giving you shit.
Yeah. But also...
Whoa.
I know, I do that sometimes.
I cannot diagnose other people's various mental things.
Nor
thing,
should you.
But I know that for me...
Diagnosed James plenty.
Autism makes me extraordinarily light sensitive during the day. Mm. And so at night it is especially bad. So functionally everything in my room that has even like a charging LED, if it's going to be left plugged in, mm-hmm. I've either put tape over it or very carefully taken a fine Sharpie marker. Like, even my headphones, mm-hmm. The ones that I'm wearing, I have drawn over it with a Sharpie so that I can still see the LED when it's charging or, you know, whatever.
But it's muted.
But it's so, so much less sharp in the dark.
Yeah. Like, right after we got married, my wife and she had a job up north for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember
that. Yep, she was living in Bemidji and just... It was the first time in her life that she had been alone.
Oh,
because she had a twin sister.
Yeah.
Her whole life, growing up with a twin, there was somebody else in the room. She went to college with her twin. There was somebody else in the room all the time. Then immediately, like, she moved out of living with her sister to living with me and was immediately with me. It was the first time she was away. It was the first time she didn't have somebody in the bedroom with her when she was sleeping, basically.
Yeah.
And so she took to leaving the TV on as kind of a safety blanket, a comfort blanket.
Sure.
And then when she came back, she left the TV on all night. And my sleep suffered for it so badly. For years, I fought with her about it, you know, please. And now we have finally compromised. Now she has podcasts that she... Mm-hmm. She has a headband that she can wear that doesn't fall off at night that has integrated speakers in Bluetooth. And so she can listen to podcasts and stuff like that while she goes to sleep that gives her that noise to sleep to without keeping me awake.
Joe had a similar thing because he grew up in a house of eight fucking people. And so, like, we had the thing where he could listen to a podcast, but it had to cut out after half an hour.
Mm. Oh.
So he had to set the thing to just stop it after timer, half an hour. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because he falls asleep in 5 minutes if he's got that sound.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? It's just like, boom, done. And I'm like, I don't want to have to go fishing to turn off your podcast.
Fuck. Yeah.
So.
Thankfully, a lot of podcast apps have that sleep timer, which is super nice.
No, it's so good.
There has been the struggle that, in addition to being light sensitive, I'm incredibly sound sensitive at night. So loud sounds during the day, but like most sounds are too loud in the middle of the night. And so having our Google speaker on at 9%. Is about as loud as I can have a podcast from there.
Mm.
But it's also not loud enough for Jax because they can't, they can hear that something is happening, but they can't make out the individual words. Yeah. And
that was kind of a big one for me, is if I could hear what was being said, then I was focused on it.
Yep.
Whereas if it was just a murmur, understand then I could
that.
Ignore
it. Oh my God. If they can't hear it, then they become focused on it. If they can hear what's being said, they can just tune it out.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
So they are, they have the opposite thing. And so when they, when they're doing that, like, I had to very gently turn it down in the middle of the night.
Yep.
Hoping that wouldn't wake them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just like trying to find that correct balance. What we've got now is that they'll put it on at a volume that they'll put their phone on at a volume that is okay for me, but it will be on their side.
Okay.
So that it's playing directly to them.
Sure.
Which and makes then, it work.
I mean, Joe plays his podcasts on his phone too.
Yeah.
They also have headbands for sleeping that have speakers in them.
Yeah,
that's what Radley's got.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, I use it for exercising at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also used it when I was like, I don't want to listen to your snoring anymore.
They would rather, they'd rather have plug-in headphones than a headband. For that, like a thick headband.
So they have there's a specific headband. I'll see if I can find it.
Sure.
But it's got basically the donuts around the ears.
Yeah.
But they're pillowy. So they're not like and hard and then it's smushy. No, they're just pillowy and then you can roll on them and it's fine.
But, because they, there are some TV shows that I can fall asleep to immediately, like Mystery Science Theater just knocks me out now.
Sure.
Because I always used to try to stay up to watch it, and I would fall asleep in the middle.
I get that.
So now
kind of a weird
conditioned
inverted Pavlovian thing happening there.
Yeah. But all of that aside, that's what I did this weekend.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of household stuff.
Yeah. What about you, Solso?
What did I do? Had an interesting day last week where just as my son was like getting his shoes on in the morning to leave for school, there was suddenly a loud bang and all the lights went out.
Oh,
I heard something about that.
Yeah, we had an explosion and all of the lights in the neighborhood disappeared.
Wow.
And my poor son was just like, what? What happened? It's just like, it's all good. Just go to work. But I'm at home, and I've got no electricity, and I've got no internet. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to sit here.
I'm going to watch something on...
I'm just going to sit... What? No, this was a work day, so I was just not able to work.
Yep.
Sorry. Mm. Just going to have my cup of coffee in front of the fireplace and wait for the power to
times
come on.
Are tough.
Oh, that's why you have books.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was terrible.
Look at you planning ahead with all that relaxing literature.
Yeah. No, it was pretty good. No, other than that, my daughter had a tournament this weekend. This was our home tournament, the one that takes place that we put on. And so it was, you know, not only getting her to the rink and having all the hockey happen, but also working the event, you know, for the volunteer hours to make the event go. It was a good time. So, you know, had a lot of fun doing that. The girls of her age group, but on the A team, made it to the championship game. So we went to that and cheered them on and you know, made sure that we were representing, but otherwise, you know, just had a good time, had a bunch of hockey over the weekend, and I love the home one because it's 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I can just
know all the good places to go for the safety meeting.
Yeah, exactly. over at 9 Mile. That's the place we go. It's terrible. So that's what we did this weekend. But the other thing I did, the thing I've been doing over the past week and a half, probably a couple weeks, is... I used to watch, and people who listen to this podcast have heard me talk about many times and have probably watched themselves, a YouTube thing called Zero Punctuation.
Yes.
With
Yahtzee Kroshow.
Yeah.
And I'm subscribed to that and have been for many years, and I kind of became aware that I haven't seen a video on YouTube for a while.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, I wonder if that just finally ended or what's going on with that. And I looked, and sure enough, he's no longer doing Zero Punctuation. But he is now working for another company.
Yeah.
It's called Second Wind. And he's doing a sort of similar thing. A couple different things. But he's... it's not called Zero Punctuation, but it's basically Zero Punctuation.
Sure.
But it's fully Ramblematic.
Yes.
That's what it's called. So I started watching those, and it was just like, oh, this is where Zero Punctuation lives now. But there were some also other ones were called Yahtzee Tries, and it's where he tries a video game for an hour and just live gives his feedback on it. And sometimes they're fun, and sometimes they're absolute fucking disasters. But he plays it and does his thing. for an hour. And they're interesting and fun. But sure. The thing I've been spending a lot of time on is he is also part of a D&D campaign.
Ooh.
There is a D&D campaign. Adventure is Nigh.
Ooh.
They're just starting their fourth season of this D&D campaign.
All right.
And it's an absolute delight.
Well, sure.
It's so wonderful. It is, so they've got Yahtzee, who plays a half-elf bard thief. They have a Asimar fighter. They have a mushroom people. He's literally a big human-sized walking, talking mushroom.
Interesting.
And they have a tabaxi, which is a cat person. Mm-hmm. And she is this giant tabaxi fighter who is also super sweet and just wants to cook people food.
Okay.
But also goes out there and beats some fucking ass and just destroys. Cool. And it's so good because Yahtzee is the sarcastic, like, intelligent one, and he tries to, you know, be the guy in charge, and they just won't have it. there's a long running, like, at one point, something about this NPC was talking to the tabaxi and was just like, oh, you know, these are good leadership qualities. And then Yahtzee was like, I thought I was the leader. And ever since then, every NPC they meet, you know, they'll be doing the things. And you know, she'll say something and be like, oh, that's very insightful. Just like a leader should be. And
That's amazing. Oh, my God, yes.
I love this. Digging that knife in every time.
What a great running joke.
It is a fantastic running. And it just to troll him. Mm-hmm. And then every so often, like, he'll get irritated because his rolls are just shit. You know, he's rolling ones. And he's like, well, you're the leader. What are we going to do? And then she's like, I think we should do this. And then it works. And he's just like, motherfucker.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It's absolutely delightful just watching this guy get trolled in real time. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. I recommend giving it a look.
Yeah.
Go to the Second Wind YouTube channel and check out An Adventure is Nigh. If you enjoy watching other people play D&D, which is not everybody's bag, but could be fun for some of you to just have in the background while you're doing other things, I recommend
it. Unless you're going to focus on it, make sure to set the volume at the appropriate amount.
Yeah, just like at a 10 or an 11.
Yeah, yeah. Just enough.
Right there.
You joke about this, but there is a D&D podcast that Jax and I listen to that they would like to fall asleep to. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I can't fall asleep to that. And they're like, well, I'll turn the volume down. And I'll be like, I will still hear it and I will not be able to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be that exact right balance of being something that's...
Yeah, like a 9 or a 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Anyway, watching that over the past few days, while I'm working, having that on in the background. And it's fun. It's silly. It's one of those game styles that I really like where nobody is really trying to rules lawyer. It's just they're having a good time having fun. And some badass shit like fucking happening. It was great. I was working away and I kind of looked up to see what was going on, and they were basically in like fucking Kazakh Doom underground, you know, with a giant bridge with abyss in both sides of them. And there's this giant fucking crab, you know, the size of a house, hanging off the side of this bridge, attacking him. And the guy, the Asimar, he's got an arrow that's a teleportation arrow.
Oh.
That when it hits something, he's attuned to it. When it hits something, he teleports to where that arrow is.
Oh.
And he does this fucking badass move where he horks the arrow up into the air, tackles the crab, like basically bull rushes it to knock both himself and the crab into the abyss.
Yeah.
And then, like, the arrow comes down.
Hell yeah.
And he teleports back up.
Yeah.
And it was just that's fucking badass
superhero shit.
Hell.
Yeah, but can you picture falling into the abyss and now you're in the abyss and then suddenly back? Like, you've got to have some kind of trauma from that.
But the thing is the roll was bad and it the arrow didn't land. It kind of and didn't hit point first.
Oh
no.
And so he's falling. And his teammates have to scramble to grab the arrow and stab it into the ground.
Yeah.
And at this point he's been falling for 12, 13 seconds. You know, he's he's getting going pretty fast at this point. And then the GM was like, I need to check the rules here and find out if teleportation conserves momentum.
Right. The way that portals change momentum, or rather how they do not.
Yeah. And so then she's just like, okay. So she's like the big tabaxi fighter, who's this big beefy, cat person, lays down on the ground and stabs the arrow down next to her to absorb
the impact.
Like, it was just like some of this shit, they were doing this and it was just like, this is holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love good storytelling.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And nobody was being super we got to protect her. It was just we're going to do some stupid shit, and it's going to be great.
That's the podcast that I've been listening to is Worlds Beyond Number, and I fucking strongly recommend because it is full of badass stuff, but it's also full of super fun, super wild, funny stuff, but it's deeply heartfelt and touching at various turns.
Yeah.
Almost everything from the Dimension 20 group. Whenever some of those people get together and do something, there's always something that is just jaw dropping like that. And so I love that those moments are not just something that people are telling each other in what are trying to tell people D&D stories is always super rough. But when they've been with you the entire time as an audience member,
and you can watch it happen,
then it's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, and none of it is just devolving into, I'm going to swing my sword at it again.
Right.
It's like, what crazy fucking insane thing can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do to make this entertaining as opposed to just, I'm going to swing my sword at it again? Yeah.
Well, and it takes such a balance of good players and a good dungeon master.
Yeah.
Like, telling the story of success and failure as if it's different moment to moment.
Yep.
So that's amazing. I'll bet Yahtzee's fucking great at that. I'm excited to check out this new thing. Thank you.
Yay!
I knew that he had moved on to fully Ramblematic, but I did not know that he was doing D&D. That's cool.
So it's fun. Anyway, that's what I've been doing. Cool. And I just got word that Lilibeth's game ended in a tie.
Ooh.
So against Edina.
Damn.
What do they do? Distract him with cake?
So not a loss. But a tie. Yeah. So.
That's just fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we take a break?
Yeah.
I could use another one of these.
I think we better have.
We can do that.
All right. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. There was a terrible accident with a time machine.
Twernt no accident.
Oh, God.
It was like Weird Science, but if you watch it backwards.
I don't have an appropriate sound for this.
Greetings, Zach Posse, and buckle, or we're back. I'm so sorry. I was so disturbed I couldn't think for a second.
Oh, God.
I'm Chairs.
Yeah.
And I'm
and it's time for a Fast Five.
Oh, my God. Let's never do that again.
James, why are you? Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Nice.
Stefan Senpai!
Yay! Senpai!
Opening thoughts. Now that I'm working from home on Mondays, it's a lot easier to toss together a Fast Five after lunch.
Ooh.
All right. Question number one. Analog.
Oh.
Or digital?
Ooh. Clocks?
Yeah, I mean, that's where my brain went first, which... almost guarantees that's not what it is.
Right.
But,
really, because I was thinking like music.
Yeah. He's very musically focused.
Yeah, records or CDs or, you know, MP3s or streaming. I really like the ease of digital, but there's something about analog that just
truly
makes my little lizard brain so very happy.
Yeah.
I like the convenience of ebooks, but there's something about sitting down with a book proper that you just can't replace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I will take a real book, hands down, any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to have your hands up to...
No, you don't.
If it's
to hold the book?
A book.
You can have your book in your lap.
You can, but it's still involved in hands.
Look, do not tell me how I can or cannot read a book.
I'm sorry, are you book-splaining to Salsa?
To Salsa, yes, not to you.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, then, all right. Thank you.
Actually,
I appreciate that.
Do not read-splain to me, my friend.
So...
I'm gonna go digital.
I'm gonna go analog. If I have a project, I would rather have it there in front of me, doing the thing, working on it directly than trying to like digitally assemble stuff. I love doing digital art and that kind of stuff, but I like the result of having it there in front of me in reality.
It's really hard to do digital woodworking, so I don't think that's going to be it.
CNC.
Actually, I did download a game a while back where it's like turning and you can just kind of make the shape. So, yeah.
And then what were you left with?
Huh? Whatever.
Nothing.
I passed some time.
I passed some wind.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say overall, probably digital. Like, I love the aesthetic of more analog in general.
Sure.
But I'm lazy. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go digital.
Okay.
Or efficient.
Yeah, I'll go analog.
All right. Two digitals and analog. Waiter. Question number two. Streamlined or kludge?
I'm not sure what kludge means.
Neither am I.
I am extremely confident about this, unlike some of the time when we're debating, havering about what Stefan Senpai
cool. asked Whatever us. So what means. Is it?
So, kludge is a hack that you've put together to make something work. Like, you don't have a trailer hitch, so you've tied it to your toe points or something on the back of the car.
Farmer rig it.
So, yes, yeah. But that's a kludge, especially where it relates to hacking and technology and programming very specifically.
That makes sense. So, that sounds vaguely familiar now that you say it.
If your code works but is inelegant and crappy.
No.
Then it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, that's okay. That's broken.
As anybody who's had to fix code, that is janky and undocumented.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck yep. you.
No, I'm definitely in the streamline camp for this one.
Yeah. Mm.
I had in elementary school, mm-hmm. I had an orchestra teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in orchestra. Ta-da.
Oh.
And he had one very specific rule. He's like, mm-hmm. I don't care. If you don't know the music,
mm-hmm.
play it loud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't correct a mistake I don't know is there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, play it loud. Let your mistakes be known so that we can work on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about any kind of mm-hmm. process, programming, anything. If there is an issue, I need to know about it or I mm-hmm. can't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will spend so much time streamlining a process. I don't know if you guys know. I really like processes.
Weird.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I learned from my dad was to take 5 extra minutes to do it right rather mm-hmm. than take half an hour to fix it later.
Yep.
Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah. I don't care if you've got somewhere else to be. Take the time to just do it right now. Then you don't have to spend twice as long fixing it later.
Yep. That was the lesson that was constantly repeated to me was if you do it right now, you don't have to do it right later mm-hmm. after spending the time.
I think this is always something that's interesting to me because I think there's a slight difference. For me, it was always make sure you allocate the appropriate amount of time to be able to do it right the first time.
Right.
Not it doesn't matter what else needs to happen. Other things might need to happen.
Sure,
you might need to leave something in the middle of it. Make sure you allocate the appropriate amount of time.
Well, for what I meant by that more was my ADHD self was just like, I just want to get it done so I can go do something fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't care if you want to go watch your TV show or read your book, do this right. Because you're going to have much bigger interruption to your day later mm-hmm. if you don't. So,
the same. But I am a person who tries to streamline processes by mm-hmm. recognizing obstacles early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go about it.
That is how my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And which is why having people just tell me like, oh, just get started and then you can ask people for clarification later. And I'm like, you listen here. You fuck right off. Is that clear? Did I clarify that for you?
No, because then I'm going to have to spend more time undoing what I've fucking already done.
Because
you didn't tell me this thing that you could have told me 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. nebulous project goals. Fuck that. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, streamlining.
God, really sounds like you need a project manager to come in and help streamline some of that.
That's extremely true.
Mm.
Yeah. That is why I will be taking project management courses.
Ooh.
Mm. Exciting. Question number 3. Glass.
Ooh.
Or plastic?
Glass.
Glass.
I know there's a utilitarian thing to be had with plastic, but glass.
Glass.
I have glass tumblers that I use for drinking, like just sure. general water stuff, like where most yeah. people would use a plastic bottle. I do also have plastic bottles because you can't bring glass into the gym. But overall, like I.
But it's a reusable plastic as opposed to a plastic bottle.
Right.
Right. I've never put anything in a glass bag.
Have you not? You should try it.
It's super fun. It's gonna be gentle.
That's kind of the problem. I was fixing a window and opted for plexiglass, and it ended up being a really smart thing because I dropped the window outside. I was like, man, if I hadn't spent the extra $8. Oh, fuck, I'd be spending so much more money right now, and I'd be really deeply unhappy about it. No. That's 100% me and knowing myself better.
Yeah, that was James planning for James.
Yep. Certainly. He James-proofed that one.
Oh, God.
Really the only one who can.
Which is weird, because he was making a ramp. Question number 4. Plastic or metal?
Oh.
I prefer metal music.
I like Fantastic Plastic Beach. I also like... Fantastic Plastic Beach is the band, and then Plastic Beach is the album.
Also, Full Plastic Alchemist, not that good.
No. Full Plastic Alchemist.
When it comes to car frames, I would rather have something that's plastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Than something that is metal. Like the very exterior part, not the interior frame structure itself.
Sure, yeah,
right. That's not a good idea.
Yeah,
but yeah, like the outside stuff where you can just bump it and dent it and pop it right back out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
canceled. I'll go plastic for that one.
Yeah, accidents are far more survivable as a result of crumple zones. I think. I love a metal canteen rather than the plastic olive drab one.
An Nalogene bottle.
I love a metal canteen.
It's called a flask.
I mean, that's yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no. The difference is, I was a Boy Scout, not a Scoutmaster, so it was a canteen.
That's actually really good. I appreciate that difference a lot. I didn't think that was going to happen tonight, but here we are.
That was your one good joke for the night.
You heard it. That's it. All right.
Yay! Wait.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
I couldn't have done it without the two of you.
I wish you would, though.
All right.
Question number 5.
5.
British or American?
It's
the American way. It's the British way. God.
Fucking.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm so glad that all of you went there with me.
Sam the Eagle is a masterpiece in puppetry.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Hands down. Like, in characters, as far as puppet, he is so fucking serious all the time. Grumpy and serious. And he carries it, too.
Yep.
But, like, he's Muppet grumpy. Uh-huh. And he's Muppet serious. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it just... It's perfect. And also, Muppet Christmas Carol is the best Christmas Carol.
That's extremely true.
Come at me.
So...
Okay. American or British? British or American?
Which game shows are better? British.
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 Sure.
Yeah.
I like the way the British spell color.
I also like that.
I hate it when I spell color and it auto-corrects it.
I
wanted that U there.
Hate the way that they spell words with the I's suffix. Because it looks wrong. It looks really wrong to me with I-S-E instead of I-Z-E when it's that, like...
Okay, here's why I'm going British. Aluminium.
No, I also don't like that.
You don't like that?
I don't like that. I
fucking love it. I think it's glorious. Because I love the story behind it.
Oh, yeah.
It's lovely. Yeah. I'm Jaguar. Just like, yes.
I do. I love Jaguar. Very particular things. I'm definitely picking and choosing my my anglophonics.
So, Led Zeppelin.
Anglophonics worked for me.
Led Zeppelin.
Yes, it's Labour Party. Yes.
When Led Zeppelin first got started, Led was spelled L-E-A-D. Mm-hmm. And it was when they were getting big in America that they changed their name, their spelling to L-E-D. Because they thought Americans were going to be too stupid to pronounce it right. And we're going to call it Led Zeppelin. Yeah. And to make sure that Americans didn't pronounce it wrong, they changed it to L-E-D.
That's extremely funny and very accurate. Mm.
Yeah, they're not wrong to do so. Yeah.
Also that.
So you're Led Zeppelin. Who's the backup Zeppelin? Who's the rhythm Zeppelin? I can see why they would.
Yeah. All right.
British.
We all went British on that one.
All right.
I don't think anyone here is super excited about America right now.
Not a lot to be happy about. All right. Question number one, analog or digital? Okay. How do you listen to music in your car? How do you listen to analog music in your... Does anybody still have a tape deck?
I do still have a CD player.
CD's digital, though.
No, it isn't. I found this out. Even though it's a series of pits and valleys, pits and peaks, that it is an analog signal because it is being read actively to create the frequency that generates the music. It is more like a record than a tape.
And it is more like a record. Are you saying a CD is analog?
Yes. But then it can be digitally stored. That's why the music skips if you jog it, but then it resumes, and then it's like jogging a record player.
Sure.
But it's I think that it is analog because it is a series of pits and valleys which are read at a frequency like a record, like the track of a record, versus being like a DVD, which is digital.
Which committee makes this decision?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a compact disc, but it is not a digital disc unless it contains data. If it's if it's being used to store MP3s or if it's being used to store files, then it's digital because those ones and zeros represent the ones and zeros of the file.
But
the binary data. But otherwise, that binary is used to generate the audio frequency, like the needle on a record.
Okay, I'm willing to buy this.
At least this is what like three videos that I've watched on informative YouTube have told me, and I was very surprised.
Okay, I'll go with it. Like, I mean, the internet has never steered me wrong before.
Oh God!
But like, but you're so excited about this, and it is. Sure. It does make a certain level of sense.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. And that's why
CD audio,
you can only fit like 35 minutes of CD audio on a disc, but you can fit hours of digital music on
there. Sure. Okay.
Also because of the compression.
I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I do still have a CD player in my car.
Sure.
Do I use it? No. I don't even think I own CDs anymore, really, but...
Don't listen to music in the car.
Oh, my God. I listen to music and podcasts.
I listen to all the time. I listen to podcasts or I listen to NPR, but I don't listen to music.
Yeah, I was about to say, I do music or NPR.
If I'm listening to the radio, I'm listening to NPR. And if, otherwise, I'm listening to a podcast.
Okay, so now here, radio, I think, used to be an analog signal, it's digital now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I don't even though to you're music. Listening to the same radio station, you're now listening to it digitally.
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, TV has switched to digital.
It has, too. Yeah. That's weird. So,
Which is actually really aggravating because now when the TV signal degrades, instead of just getting a little fuzzy, it just cuts out.
Yeah.
And it really pisses me off.
There is something that I really like about that, and that is that sometimes at the gym, Fox News will freeze. And it just won't work, and I love that.
Oh, I love it when Fox News is on at the gym, because my heart rate gets really high.
It's the urge to throw up that really makes it unpleasant.
I don't pay attention to the TVs.
Yeah, no, I've been thinking about podcasts.
I listen to music.
I've been thinking about getting a little Bluetooth thing for my tape player.
I just listen to Pump Up the Jam on repeat.
So that I can listen to tapes in my car again. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember when you had to get that like CD player cassette adapter?
Oh, yeah.
Where you put that in so you could use your tape deck to listen
now
to
it. Now I have to do the opposite thing. Yeah. I've got a CD that has a cord coming off of it. That I can use, that plugs into my tape player.
Deck, yeah.
So
yeah.
that I can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I just reversed the adapter and it works.
So it's
I thought you were going to say reverse the polarity.
But if I'm not listening to the radio, then I am Bluetoothing in my podcast.
Yeah.
Phone, so digital.
Yeah. Bluetoothing my music, but same process.
Different my phone just plugs directly into my car and it charges my phone, and then I also get my maps on a little screen, which is
you do have the nifty little screen thing.
Official.
See, I've got. My
sense of direction is adventurous.
My little clamp that holds my phone is a wireless charger.
That's quite cool.
I haven't found any kind of clamp or anything that works properly for my car.
Mm-hmm.
My car has too many curves, much like her owner. Too many curves.
Mm-hmm.
And the surface is bumpy, so all of those like stick'em things don't stick either. It's very frustrating. So,
Yeah, I'm not the
And I am also very particular about what I put where in my car. So that's, some of it is my own, me getting in the way.
Yeah, and I mean,
allow me a moment of surprise.
Like, I've got mine attached to the vent, like many of them are.
Sure.
And I hate that.
Hate it.
I hate that because it's fucking winter and I've got the heat blasting all the time.
Yep.
So now I get out and my phone is a fucking overheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, don't like that.
No.
But that's... It works because I also don't typically like the heat blowing directly on me. So most of the time when I've got the heat on, I've got it going...
Pointed away.
Winter mix.
Defrost. Window defrost.
Oh, sure.
So it's coming up the dash.
Well, I do that.
Indirectly coming at me.
I do that too, but that's so I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I've got the heat blowing right at me, then it just dries my eyes out.
Oh, I love it blowing right at me.
Then you can't
me.
See for two reasons.
I love it. It's like a blanket of warm air.
Yeah. Question number two, streamlined or kludge? What is the setup for streaming audio from your phone to your car stereo?
Does your car
have a Bluetooth receiver built in streamlined, or do you need to use one or more adapters or auxiliary inputs? Kludge. For example, my car stereo is factory original from 2002, so it does not have Bluetooth. I use a mini Bluetooth receiver with an 8-inch stereo headphone jack, which I plugged a tape adapter into, which then goes into the cassette player. When I was in college the first time in early 2000s, I definitely had to... I've done
all of that before.
Because I had to use a mini... radio transmitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
So I had to change the radio on my car to the specific channel, and then it would pick up the little mini transmitter that I had.
And I hate it when it cut out.
Yep.
Like, as if you're somehow getting further away from it.
Yeah.
Like you're in Iowa or something. Yeah. Like, no, it's right the fuck there.
Yeah.
That's like cannot find printer. It's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Control. What do you mean you can't find it? It's right next to you.
Control V print. Yeah. I've definitely in college a bunch of my music was on my Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that plugged in through a series of adapters. But no, mine it just plugs directly into a cable that was factory installed.
Yeah.
In high school I had the speakers. It was I had the big speakers in the back, and then I had the amp under the seat that was just an amp with wires that were electric taped into place
from
wires under the
dash. I think you and I had the same first car. Yeah.
That was janky as fuck and probably a fire hazard.
Yep.
But I thought it was so fucking cool and I was going to get
the
all the girls.
Cylinders fired.
Yep.
How many girls did you end up getting?
Zero.
Yeah, okay.
Zero. Really just the one that we've all met.
Me?
Yeah.
My first girlfriend was in college.
He was a teenager at the time, but she was in college.
I mean, 19 is a teenager. I was just barely not a teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
No, to answer the actual question, I do have a Bluetooth receiver thing plugged into an 8. So.
Also cool.
So yeah, and it works just fine.
Sure.
I live in Uptown, so sometimes my car gets broken into. That's just a reality of living in Uptown. Yeah. And I've had people steal the cable that goes from the because it's just a tiny little button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I've got it stuck kind of almost on the underside. So you wouldn't necessarily know what you're looking for.
Huh.
And I've had people steal, because it's got both a charging cable and it's got the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The aux out thing, whatever. The I don't know terms for the cable, but the audio cable.
Yeah.
Poor Stefan.
I know.
Stereo Mini would be the headphone jack.
But I think it's an actual, like a heavier one. If I remember the thicker one.
Stereo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think. Anyway, now I'm doubting myself. But no, they stole everything, all the other cables, all of the any other technological whatever. But that little guy was still stuck just on the underbit there.
I feel bad for that guy's significant other.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I had gone to the audio store and bought a new CD player for my car and
when such things were available.
Right, and removed the old radio because it was just a radio and put in the CD player, but it had a slightly slimmer profile. And so it didn't completely fill out that slot, which was fine, because then the wires hung out the front that went under my seat to the amp that was under the seat to the speakers and everything like that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but it was one of those fancy ones that had, like, you could change the bass and the treble, and it had the lights that would waterfall and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I thought it was fucking cool.
I remember spending
and if I could just get a girl in my car long enough to look at my CD player, then she'd know that too. But
she'd basically just get hypnotized, like, what the fuck?
Paradise deer and by the dashboard light.
It turns out that she will do anything for love, but she won't do
that. Absolutely not.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did spend an amount of time programming the lights on one of those decks to be a particular color.
Ooh.
Yeah, just so that it would look nice without annoying the fuck out of me.
I believe this to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Question number 3. Mm. Glass or plastic? What material is your favorite water cup made of?
Mm. Glass. Oh my God, actually called that one.
Same. Yep. Yeah. Fuck.
Very much so.
Yeah, all right.
All right, question number 4, plastic or metal? What is your favorite kitchen tool made of?
Metal.
Oh.
Do not use metal kitchen tools.
But
you will scratch your shit. Wood. Wood.
Bamboo. But no, my favorite kitchen
silicone
tool is a Japanese knife.
Oh, okay. Knives, yes. Yes, knives.
Yeah, I suppose that's technically a kitchen tool.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, metal knives.
My second favorite one is a cheese slicer.
I feel like knife isn't... Is
well, then my second favorite one is a cheese slicer.
You should use a wooden one.
Cheese? it's oak cheese with an oak fruit.
But
no, I think I have a very specific favorite spatula.
Yeah,
that, you know how like spatula heads can be like wide or thin or kind. There's one of them that the size is just right.
Okay, all right.
It's not too long.
Yeah.
It's not too short.
Gives you the leverage that you want without getting in the way.
But it is thick enough. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
I do have a favorite spatula, and it's got a metal handle, but it's a silicone.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite. Well, spatula, flipper. What's the difference? Flipper. I think it's a flipper.
Yeah.
A dolphin flipper? silicone broke or something. Wood. Unless it's a knife or a gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is greater as a cutting implement, so I'm going to call it a knife. So there.
It's a series of knives.
It's a series of knives.
Series of very tiny circular knives.
Fuck.
I could choreograph that fight.
Third favorite is the can opener. So
okay, the can opener is a good answer though. Yeah, that is also very utilitarian.
Fuck right off.
So pizza cutter is just
also a knife.
Okay. What about when you use the edge of the fork to cut something?
Then it's a nork.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to...
Or a pizza stone.
I learned to hate a pizza stone.
Oh, that's a shame.
I did too.
Was it because of all the rules around the pizza stone?
It was because the pizza tasted weird.
Really?
Huh.
And I don't know why. But my old roommate had a pizza stone, and every time we used the pizza stone, the pizza just didn't taste right. And I don't know why.
I'll bet I do.
I cannot figure out why.
They probably oiled it with something that went rancid.
Possibly.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
possibly.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah,
because you do have to clean it. You just can't use, you can't put it in the dishwasher, obviously.
Sure.
But
yeah,
also,
yeah.
You can use soap, but it has to be very particular soaps.
Mm.
And so some people just don't ever. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. Yep. Yeah. Like I said, just every time we use it, I just didn't like it. So I just.
No. I love a cast iron, but I.
Oh, God.
I hate a pizza stone. I will put that pizza directly on the rack. I will clean that up.
So
I would rather.
What we do is we put just a layer of aluminum foil on the bottom rack.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
a good
then.
Idea.
Okay.
It just lives there.
I lied.
And every so often we replace it, but otherwise we put
my favorite kitchen tool.
Yeah,
okay. I think is what we're going with here.
Okay,
Krumkaka iron.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
because
that's pretty cool.
That has a good level of heart to it. It's hefty. Mm. It's neat.
And that's got to be metal.
And I haven't used mine for a few years because I have an electric stove. And it's the old school that sits atop the burner.
Yep.
Fuck.
I do have a camp stove. I could probably do that if I needed to. But
I fucked up my wok. I have to replace it. But I do still have an Ebelskaver pan, which is cast iron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do the new ones they have that just use magnetism? Do those work with cast
inductance?
Iron? Yeah. Do those work with cast iron?
I don't believe remember. They do. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's any ferrous metal. And iron is a ferrous metal.
Because
it's right there in the name.
Oh. Yeah. I couldn't remember what metals it does and doesn't work with, because it doesn't work with aluminum. Aluminum doesn't work.
Aluminum is non-ferrous. Yeah.
It is ferrous metal. Okay. I couldn't I don't have one, so I couldn't remember
Yeah. Well, but copper.
But I guess if it uses magnetism, it makes sense that it would be a
copper has
thing.
A magnetic field, but it is non-ferrous.
Okay.
But it does. It is conductive in a particular way that I guess aluminum is not. Maybe I can't remember if copper pans work.
Mm.
But you can generate an electrical inductance.
So maybe if you get an induction oven, you can use the Krumkaka thing.
Okay.
Because if it's a cast iron Krumkaka thing, then
it is cast iron.
And it should work with the induction oven.
Well,
or whatever it is.
No, I think the problem is, and I might be able to do it with the electric, because it's, I haven't tried to sit it on and see if it fits on the goddamn coil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's not right. I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't adjust.
I get that.
Yeah.
Where it needs to be. It's not. I'd have to relearn a whole new process, and it's not the same thing.
The whole thing about gas stoves being better for chefs was something that was pushed for as a marketing campaign from the natural gas company.
Huh.
I mean, I believe it 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, like all of these influencers, they went low viral with it to mm-hmm. pay people millions of dollars.
I 100% believe yeah. it, but I yeah, also...
But also I just prefer some organic stuff.
Oh, sure.
I
yeah.
prefer...
Yeah. There are reasons to mm-hmm. like it.
I prefer electric oven gas range is what I prefer.
Sure. Mm. Yeah.
Sure.
I would love to get one of those convection ovens. Mm-hmm. Those would be pretty sweet, mm-hmm. but for now, an electric oven. Because
convection ovens or induction range?
Convection oven.
Okay. Okay, for baking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I bake.
Yes.
And yeah. gas ovens are not as precise.
Oh.
Whereas an electric oven is you can really nail a temperature
it's,
with a gas
yeah,
oven.
It's kind of huh. almost the flip
yeah.
of...
Because I had, this was now like 20 years ago, that there was a student who, for their science fair thing, measured the consistency of temperature for baking within gas stoves versus electric stoves. And they had discovered that although the temperature is imprecise, it maintains a more level temperature than
But it's not correct. Consistent throughout.
Oh.
You get hot spots, and you get higher temperatures, yeah. areas of higher temperature, yeah, areas yeah, of yeah. lower temperature.
Which is why Marie Callender tells you to turn the thing.
I'm ignoring.
Yeah.
Skip it.
Whereas the convection ovens, they circulate the air, and so the whole oven is the same temperature.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
And yeah, yeah. those are really nice, and I would love to get one of those.
Mine's
eventually.
Got just a
I would love
of
to
options.
Have a convection oven and an induction range.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be very
but
cool.
But up until this point, the only.
Or hot. Yeah.
Up until modern technology has yeah. supplanted that, it was electric oven yeah. gas
Mine,
range.
I have a gas oven that has convection bake mm-hmm. as an option, but it also has like dehydrate as an option, and
ooh,
it also has it's got a ton of stuff like built into it.
Very fancy,
wild, yeah. But it's also one of the ones that has like the center burner for the griddle.
Also, yeah. you just cannot do like bananas Foster on an electric range.
No.
You just can't.
No.
It just doesn't
correct
do the thing.
That makes sense. Jenna, are you interested in bananas Foster?
Nope. Sure the fuck I'm not.
What about Cherry's Jubilee?
Okay, that one.
Huh.
I was going to make Cherry's Jubilee this weekend.
How joyful.
Dealing with dragons, we talked about that. Cherry's Jubilee is something that comes up
in that.
Kids,
yes, it does.
Kids were curious as what Cherry's Jubilee is. And I was just like, I will absolutely show you what Cherry's Jubilee is.
I will light shit on fire, yeah.
Yes.
I will absolutely. I've made it before, you know. I've made it for this podcast, actually, when this podcast was fledgling.
In the before times, when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
But yeah, I've made both Cherry's Jubilee and Bananas Foster before. And so I was just like, yes, I will show you what Cherry's Jubilee is so you know what we're talking about here. Also, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
And you should be here to watch it. And yeah. also, it's delicious.
Yeah.
So we were going to make it this weekend. It didn't happen. We'll probably try to do it coming up these other days.
But yeah.
Advisable.
Yeah. Question number 5, British or American. Which country makes better historical fiction television?
Okay.
I don't.
We just
know.
Had one made that is set really in America called For All Mankind, which is a historical fiction, like alternate history about if America did not reach the moon first, if Russia reached the moon first, and like the.
Okay.
The cascade,
like a Man in a High Castle type
differences,
sort of
very, very much so. But it's so like weirdly less depressing and prescient, relevant.
So the only historical fiction I can really think of off the top of my head mm-hmm. is Downton Abbey,
okay,
which is British,
which is British, yeah.
Outlander,
which is British,
British,
yeah. Yeah.
Bridgerton,
which is British.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that jump out at me.
Yeah. Hmm.
Blackadder, which is British.
Oh, you don't say.
I know, right? Hmm. That's another one I've been watching. Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
Oh, wow. No, I have seen that.
You have?
Holy cow. Oh, forever ago.
So, Maid Marian and Her Merry Men was... So, Tony Robinson played Baldric on Blackadder.
Okay.
Okay? He wrote and starred in a kids' show called Maid Marian and Her Merry Men, where Maid Marian was the star, and Robin was an idiot. But she was the mastermind.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, it was great. She was the smart one. She was the clever one. She did all the things. Mm-hmm. Robin was an ex-tailor who was thick as a box of rocks, but kind of stumbled into being the
dummy
thought of as the leader of the group because a woman couldn't do it, and it kind of went to his head. And so he played it up. But also, she was really the one.
Gotcha. So it's sort of an Inspector Gadget.
Too close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was... So Tony Robinson was the Sheriff of Nottingham. Mm-hmm. And it was he and Maid Marian were the only smart people in the entire fucking show. And even he wasn't the smartest.
Right.
And it was just ridiculous. And, like, one of the merry men was Barrington, who... was played by the actor who played Cat on Red Dwarf.
Oh, amazing.
All right.
And he played this, like, Rasta merry man.
Oh, God.
He was okay. he was a Chew before a Chew.
Yeah. Okay.
It was just ridiculous early or late 1980s Robin Hood stories. For kids. It is a kids show, but it ran for like 4 seasons.
Nice.
But yeah, Maid Marian is the smart one. And it's that Blackadder humor. So, British. Because I just can't think
British.
Of... any, oh, what is what was the
Hogan's
one?
Hogan's Heroes was made in America.
I suppose, yeah, Hogan's
Heroes.
And it's
about Americans, but also Brits and Germans, especially.
What was the one
that... MASH.
No, okay. What was the one where the women were wearing, like, the wimples and
oh, shit. Fuck.
I never saw it, but...
Handmaid's
Tale. Yeah, that was American?
Was American.
Okay.
It's from a book.
Yeah.
The book was written...
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that historical fiction, or was it futurist?
That was future at the time.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, near future at the time.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other American history fiction.
Yeah, at the time of the book, it was near future, which is our past, but now it's... nearer future than we would like.
I'm going to have to go British, just on dint of not being able to think of any American ones. Black Sails was really good, though.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to go British overall.
I don't know
overall.
If that was British or American, though. I'm going to go British. Yeah.
I will... and again, the text of the question is, which one do we enjoy more?
No, which country makes better?
Yeah, British.
British.
I just,
yeah. All right, British.
closing thoughts. It's Scottish music time again.
Yay!
It already happened.
Yes, it
did. Saturday, February 1st, which was a couple days ago, he will be running sound.
Was it marked as time sensitive?
It was, but it also didn't get in to me until after we were recording.
Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry. I try. I can't promise.
Sorry, Senpai.
I can try, but I cannot promise, and I do apologize.
He was able to advertise it in a couple of Discords.
So, yeah.
So,
but
there was the
22nd annual Aelin Dubh concert was a couple days ago.
I bet it was amazing.
I'm sure it was. Thank you so very much to Stefan for sending in that Fast Five.
Senpai?
Yes, please.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please
do.
Go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
Go.
I do. Yeah. Shout out to Bridget Foy and all the other folks currently working on The Cid. What a fantastic production. What an enjoyable evening. Go see. Do the thing. It's lovely.
I didn't get this shout out done last week because I was distracted by things, but a shout out to Laura Hansen. She knows what she did.
Yep. Story checks out.
She knows what she did.
She's very deserving of shout outs, yes.
Yes. Salsa?
I'm going to give my shout out to the Kung Fu program at my son's school. Mm-hmm. National Treasure Kung Fu. Thoroughly enjoying it. We are now third degree blue belts, which means we are now in the same class as the black belts.
Oh my god.
It was a little daunting.
Oh my god. Like,
it's me and my son, and mm-hmm. there's another little girl about Asher's age doing Kung Fu, and her dad, who's also doing it like I am with Asher. And mm-hmm. he and I, like, we walked into class, and we were just like, do you feel like it's the first day of, like, your freshman year of high school, where you've been like, you've been the big guy on campus in your small school, but now you're in high school and you're the little guy. Like, we definitely feel that way right now. we've got a ways to go to get that far, but we're in the same class period as them now, and so it's a little daunting.
Oh,
and instead of standing at the back of the room, we're back in the front row, and we're just like, we're the small guys again.
Oh my god.
But it is honestly, it's such a great program. It doesn't take a lot of time, but you do really learn some really cool stuff, and I'm so glad that we were able to find them, because my son is absolutely thriving in it, and I'm having a fantastic time myself. So,
yeah,
pretty cool. Does anybody have anything to plug?
No.
All right. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Stefan for sending in those fast five. We look forward to many, many more now that you are working from home, as you said. but we are not putting all of the onus on his shoulders. Everybody else needs to pull your weight, too.
Yeah, get out there. Pull your onus.
Go to the...
Pull my weight.
Go to the website, do the thing. You know what to do. You know. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake. I don't know what you're doing over there, but that was a bad joke.
I love that so much.